Morning. Guys, turn your Bibles, book of Colossians. Public reading, this is kind of fun stuff. You know, Paul encouraged Timothy to pay attention to the public reading of Scripture. And so we consistently plug our way through the entire Bible and have it read out loud. Some of it's tough when pronouncing all those words, but you know, there's some neat stuff that you get sometimes hearing it publicly, and that, you know, maybe some of us don't read the way that we should. And in the book of Judges here, this is interesting. God did some things to really to test, or I like the way Rotherham's, was that Rotherham's you were reading? To bring forth proof of these guys, whether or not they were going to follow God. And he raised up some judges, and I like Ehud. He's one of my favorites. I call him the lefty with the killer crossover. And I don't know if you guys know how basketball works, but you know, you got guys what they call a killer crossover. You can switch hands, go from one end, basically make the guy that's trying to play defense against them really look bad. Well, Ehud had been practicing, guys. He's the guy with the... Yeah, he was a concealed weapon carrier, and I don't think he had a permit, but we won't tell. And it was in there in that right side, and he said, basically, watch his hand, right? With his left. It was good. And I don't know, guys, didn't guys do the cross draw sometimes too, Mr. Love, every once in a while? Did guys ever do the cross draw? Yeah. He was the first of a lot of these things. Like Kevin says, people are always stealing stuff from the Bible. But I like Ehud, man. He stood up for the Lord. And brethren, these things are written for our example. Not that God wants us to be handy, shall we say, necessarily with our firearms. Although any of you guys that want to, I'm not going to. Matter of fact, there might even be times I ask you to come with me somewhere. But he really wants us to be handy with this sword, doesn't he? Left hand and the right. We're ready to go. Ready to, well, in season and out of season. That means ready when everybody else is ready, and that means even sneaking up on guys sometimes when they're not ready. Here we go. Here's the sword. And God wants us to have that stuff, have this His Word down. I appreciate the stewardship, me and what Roger said. I'm going to tie in kind of the end of my message today. The Lord is a rewarder. And man, faith, really, do we believe this, guys? And, you know, money is something that particularly... It's difficult. There's nothing easy about trying to keep finances in check. But there's a reason that God has that for us to keep in check, because it is an indicator exactly of what Roger said. Where's your faith? And it'll push you in that regard. I'm thankful to the Lord for the opportunity for us to grow in that. And then what Mr. Schaefer said, you know, being in the world but not of it, and what the Lord wants from us for a continually offer up our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice. You know, guys, the world is there's constant pressure, and so there are only two alternatives: to be conformed to the world or to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is it's a pressure cooker. It's there to mold you, to conform you, to break you down, to make you like everybody else. And man, it's tough. There's only one way you're going to be able to resist and to stand up against that, and that's by being transformed, by the renewing of your mind. It's basically like you're in the furnace, and you better be standing in there with one like, well, the Son of God. You got to be standing with you, okay? So you don't get burnt up and you don't get molded. It's going to take everything we got and all the help of the Holy Spirit to do it. So that was great. And actually, that goes along, both of those things go along with the message I'm preaching this morning. I'm preaching this series on just some favorite passages that I got in the Bible for me to keep my attitude right, that I can go to when I need that encouragement, when things are crashing around me and I feel like caving a little bit. These are things that I come back to and just grab a hold of and as a kind of an anchor for my soul to get a firm footing and to say, yes, with the Lord's help, I can do this. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22-24. It says, "Slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily, ask for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do praise you. We thank you for your word, that as it is implanted, Lord, it is able to save our souls. We're appreciative that you have considered us faithful and you have put us into your service, that you have allowed us to be a joint partners with you, Father, in your ministry. Father, we're really in awe of your greatness, your majesty, your power, your justice, your righteousness, Father, and your judgment. And Lord, it is really amazing that you would choose us to be your plan A, your only plan, by which your message would be declared throughout the world. Father, I ask that you be with me today as I preach your word, that I would communicate it clearly, and that all of us can step it up, Father, and realize that we do represent you in everything. Everywhere we go, the words that we speak, the behaviors that we have, Father, the way particularly that we work is a representation, Father, of you. I ask this all through the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, talking about being in the world, but not of it. Man, in our world today, people seems like have really lost that motivation to work. I think there are a number of reasons for it. One is, guys, the reality of it is our country is becoming more and more socialistic. And people are realizing, well, the harder I work, that there isn't always necessarily a corresponding, it doesn't show up a corresponding reward. Yeah, it doesn't necessarily show up. Matter of fact, lots of times if you're the one hard worker in the bunch, you get all the extra stuff because nobody else will do it. And you can't fire people hardly. I mean, there's a lot of reasons. But there is something, part of the moral decay too, the breakdown. The young people, I notice in particular, do not know how to work. Brother, we come into Christ and we got bad habits. We were sinners. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We walked according to the ways of this world. And a lot of us come into Christ and we did not know how to work. Now, it's interesting because the way the Lord has the church set up, this is not like some sort of communistic regime. But you know, the Lord's church is communal, isn't it? A community. And the Lord does ask that we give and that we share. But I challenge you on this. The Lord does not command anywhere for any of us to be freeloaders. Nowhere in the Scriptures does it say that you join the church so that everybody else can give. Matter of fact, Proverbs would say the leech has two daughters. Give, give. Okay? Throughout the Scriptures, there's a continual exhortation that we not be not people who are just takers, but that we be givers. Okay? Ephesians talks about the guy who steals, let him steal no longer, but rather let him labor. Okay? Performing with his own hands what is good so that he's able to share with anyone who has need. Instead of somebody stealing because you have to, hey, learn how to work. And work hard so you got an extra to share with somebody who's in need, and then we can continue to move forward from this. There is a concern always that the church has to really be on guard against, and that is that we are, you know, we're just 20 years behind the world and it's decaying. Well, we're, you know, there's a comparison. Well, we're better than the world. That's not the standard, guys. Okay? We are citizens of a heavenly kingdom. Okay? And so the Lord's expectations for us are for us to be workers for Him. Okay? What does He deserve? These are some things I want to go through this morning. You know, to many people, work is a four-letter word. Okay. Oh. For Christians, guys, work is a tremendous opportunity to be pleasing to our Lord. I want to veer off, or I kind of hit it, but I want to just emphasize this one more time. You know, our welfare state, too, is really destructive. Okay? And not just the jobs and the way it's the handouts. It's that you can sit on your couch and you can do nothing and you can get your food stamps and you get, you know, why should they work? I can understand the temptation. And the whole tax bracket thing, and you guys know, some of you are right there. It's like, why work any harder and make any more money? Bumps you up to the next one and you work for free. No reason to. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that are set against us. But for the Christian, I want us to understand work is a tremendous opportunity to be pleasing to our Lord. This passage in Colossians exhorts us to do our work heartily. That means that our work shouldn't be done just for the bare minimum. Well, I know if I do this, I'll get fired. I've got to do a little better than that. And there are a lot of people. Those are people we work with. And it can work on you. It can cave against you a little bit. That's not the way that we should be. Or maybe we just work when our boss is around. A lot of guys like that, aren't there? Oh, boss here. It was kind of fun watching some of the guys that were working on the building. One day it was super hot and the boss wasn't here, and those guys that were doing some of the stuff on the forms, they were definitely on cruise mode a little bit. And it happens. This is the way the world operates, but we don't want to be that way. Our work should overflow from our heart. Now, guys, ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, God ensured things aren't going to be easy, aren't going to come easy for you. He said, you're going to earn your bread by the sweat of your brow. It's not going to come easy. When you go and plant a garden, you're going to have to deal with all the thistles and the thorns. You're going to have to, all the stuff that's coming in and working against you, that second law of thermodynamics, it is set in motion, and you're going to have to work to overcome it. So don't buck it. Don't fight it. Don't get a bad attitude about it. Work is something that we're going to deal with here. And it's actually here for our good. Scriptures speak a lot about work. Physical, some spiritual. I'm going to particularly focus on some of the physical today, but understanding this, guys, I want you to be clear on this. Any work that we do, if we're doing it for the Lord, it is spiritual work. You understand what I'm saying? There's things that are physically involved. So if Dave over here, he's working at the tire shop and he's working for the Lord, that is part of his living sacrifice to God. So it's spiritual work. In one sense, just important is when you sit down your Bible study with somebody. Matter of fact, maybe the way you work is what's going to give you the opportunity to Bible study with somebody. But think about this. For both men and women, God wants us to be hard workers. You read Proverbs 31, gals? Proverbs 31, woman is a hard worker. Scripture tells older women, teach the younger women to be workers at home. I don't think it's limited to home, but hey, do you guys know home requires a lot of work? Especially if you got a husband like me, or you got kids. Hey, there's a lot of work involved. Be workers. God uses the natural, by the way, to train us for the spiritual. You think about the spiritual work. Roger talked about it. God brought this world into existence out of nothing. That actually reminded me of the science. You know, the scientists are always, oh, we found the God particle. Yeah, right. You know, the last was the quarks, and now they've found, you know, the atoms, the quarks, the now something small. We found the God part. At least can't figure out how this thing holds together, because it holds together by the word of God's power. But you know, the scientists, well, we can do anything. We're ready, God. We're going to challenge you. We can do anything that you can do. Okay, let's have a little competition. Anything that you've made, we can make. And it almost gets you to believe that, wouldn't they? Their stuff's not near as good. But you look at all the laboratory-created stuff. There's a lot. So we're going to have a... Okay, God says, let's go ahead. They come down there that day, and they're going to start. And scientists get some dirt, and God says, whoa, wait a minute. Make your own dirt. You got to start this thing from... There was nothing there, nothing visible. There was no starting point. There's a difference between making something and creating something. Creating means maybe that's something that's not visible. This is our God. How about the spiritual new creation that He's performed in us? He calls into being something which did not exist, didn't He? God's working. Jesus would say, "My Father is working till now. I myself am working." How about us? The Scripture talks about work of faith, the labor of love. Those things can be painful too if we go back to the bulletin question, but there's a reward for those. That's not in vain. Okay? Elders, work. The Scripture talks about them working hard at preaching and teaching. I think it was Jared read the passage about evangelists. Do the work of an evangelist. So guys, where do we learn this work ethic? Hopefully our parents taught us, but if they didn't, hey, church got to help. And hey, guess what? There's something called the school of hard knocks too. God will use imperfect people to perfect you. God will use unrighteous bosses to get you whooped into shape for spiritual purpose. Okay? So, you know, still in America, you know, I don't think we really understand what it means to be a slave. This started off with slaves do this to your masters. But there's an aspect of it that I think we're starting to taste more and more, you know, to, you know, more bricks and, oh yeah, get your own straw too while you're at it. You know, this is the way this thing's headed. But God doesn't say, "Well, guys, just throw in the towel. It's really not important." He says, "Hey, do your work as to the Lord." And so some things I was thinking about from the Scriptures with work. Number one, work is necessary. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I actually hit this at the end of my last message, but I'm going to hit it again. We're going to look at the Scripture. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. It says, "For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. If anyone will not work, neither let him eat." It's a good principle. Good principle. Parents, I'm going to encourage you, teach your kids to work. Make them work. If they don't work, they don't eat. I hate how the government feels. There are people who need help. No question about that. And really, it's not government's place. That's where Scripture exhorts us to, as individuals and, you know, as the church, to be helped. But there's a lot of con men out there. A lot of con artists. And there are a lot of lazy people. And so God really set this up for those people. Hey, if you don't work, you don't eat. Just giving handouts to people, guys, isn't always what's best for them. Sometimes you're enabling somebody. Okay? So use a little common sense even in the body of Christ. Okay? Hey, we're not going to allow somebody to be without food, but you make some poor financial decisions, the church isn't going to come bail you out of those either. Okay? There's a principle here. Okay? You work, you don't work, you don't eat. Work develops our character. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27 talks about the necessity of, Paul says, "I buffet," or "I discipline my body and I make it my slave." A lot of people read that word, "I buffet my body." You know, I'm going to, hey, I like to eat. That's not what he's saying. I discipline my body. I'll make it my slave. Get out there and work. Guys, work is part of bringing this body into submission. How many of you, you know, honestly, when the alarm clock goes off in the morning and you got a day of work, all right, but you know, I can't wait to go to work. That's not usually the way this operates. That's bringing the body into submission, isn't it? As a slave, get up, slave, and get in there and get to work. This is a part of what God has set up to help us to do that. In our work, we learn to do things right. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 22. Do you think God wants spiritual workers who do things right or who will leave a bunch of loose ends? He wants guys that will do things right. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 29, Scripture says, "Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men." I was about 8 years old. I was sweeping the paint pot for a guy named Mel Hirsch in Bozeman. Some of you know Mel. You hear him at the peaks. He can barely hear him when he tries to talk. Mel's been there. He said he'd been there for all the peaks, or all but the first peaks. And there was a couple of years he couldn't go because the guys that were working for him, he let them go the peaks, but he still made a flyover in an airplane to make sure he got to be a part of it. But Mel Hirsch was he seemed like an old guy back then when I was 8 years old. You know, he was older than me. And going and sweeping the parking lot there at the paint pot. And, you know, as an 8 year old kid, you're out there and it's hot and you're working. You know, I remember one day I come in, get paid, and Mel says, "Come here." Takes me over to the big glass window and parking lot I just swept. Says, how's that look to you? That look like you did a good job? There was still little glass chips in certain places and some rocks still there. You know, Mel paid me that day, but boy, that stuck with me. Mark Taylor, were you working there at that time? How'd I do the next time? That's good. It stuck with me. Hey, I'm thankful for Mel Hirsch in my life. That, hey, you're going to do this. You're going to do work and you're going to get paid for it. You do it right. That's a lesson. Man, it stuck with me. I really tried to pay attention when I was doing it and give it my best. And that stuck with me through life. There's years later when I graduated from college and went up to Great Falls and helping the Christian school there, and I went to interview just for some jobs in the mall, and had a guy call my boss from Bozeman, the guy I'd been working for, and he said, "Hey, I got a few questions for you about Luke Wilson." And my boss said, "Hire him." And he said, "Well, I just had my boss said hire him." He said, "Well, I just had hire him, hire him, hire him." My boss told me that later. That's what he told this guy, and they did offer me the job. I didn't take that one, but. But some, what I'm saying is, guys, it's something stuck. Do it right. Okay? Do it right. And that's something we got to teach our kids. And if we didn't learn this as kids, as Christians, guys, we're born again. We start brand new. We got to make an effort. Do it right. You go to work, work. Okay? Give it your best. Purpose in our life. We see Jesus says, "My Father's working. Till now, I myself am working." There's a saying out there, idle hands are the devil's tool. If you don't work, what are you going to do? Hey, laze around, watch TV, sleep, eat. I don't know how you'd eat if we follow the first rule, but hey, come on, there's got to be purpose in our lives. God made us that way. I don't know for sure what heaven's going to be, but I see there's still, you know, people judging the 12 tribes of Israel. I think there's still going to be some purpose in our lives there. Like I said, I don't understand the way it's all going to play out. But we need purpose. God's given that to us. How about follow through? How about finish what you start? Hey, there's a natural tendency, guys, I have. It's a natural weakness that I have to do stuff three quarters of the way. Start a book, three quarters, "Oh, this book looks better." You know, do a job, get it done, but don't clean up after. Hey, it's not done until it's done, right? Follow through. How about for Christianity? How important is that? Who do the rewards go to? Those who overcome. Those who finish. Okay? Those who go through the finish line. Those who have learned to actually follow through. How about spiritually our work? What if we set stuff up, but we don't follow through with people? All the effort that we put forth ahead of time comes to nothing because we didn't follow through. We didn't follow up. Principles here God's working on. How about, I try to teach the school kids, guys, learn to be your own boss. You know, most people cannot run their own business because they can't be their own boss. They have to have somebody else boss them around. Otherwise, they take too many days off. They got to have a time sheet. They got to clock in. They got to clock out. They got to have somebody to line them up and tell them what to do. Most people, that's why most people work for somebody else, honestly. I try to teach the school kids, hey, be your own boss. That means if you make yourself do what you're supposed to do, you and I are going to get along great. I don't do anything except pat you on the back. Good job. Hey, if you don't do what you're supposed to do and I have to be your boss, that's going to be a little tougher. You think, how about with the Lord? Do you think the Lord wants us to be self-motivated? How about the word self-control? Does that word show up? That's part of the fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? Learn to be your own boss. Show some initiative on the job site. Don't wait to be told everything. You figure some stuff out. Show some initiative. How about goals? Through work, don't we learn to set goals, financial goals and otherwise? Scripture says, and spiritually, Paul says, I press on toward the goal. It teaches us spiritual things in the physical realm. How about responsibility? Let's go to Matthew chapter 25. You guys know this one, the parable of the talents. The master calls in his slaves. Three of them that he talks about. One he gives 5 talents, another 2, another 1, each according to his own ability. Understanding there's some different abilities, but he gives them according to their ability. And in verse 19 it says, now after a long time the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Guess how he settled accounts with them? One on one. Individual responsibility. He didn't say as a group, hey, how did our group do? How was our sales goal for our group? Oh, how did you do? Got 5 more. Responsibility. Individual responsibility. This is what I was given. This is my return. Got to add 2. Comes back 2. The guy that had 1, we know what he did. He's afraid and did nothing. Scripture says the master called him a wicked and lazy slave. Opportunities, guys, to learn this in the workforce. How about honesty? You learn some things about honesty in the workplace? Man, there's a lot of opportunities to fudge a little here and there. Some companies are really smart about that, guys. They almost give you permission to. And then when they want to fire you, they got a reason to. You know what I mean by that? Everybody does it. Everybody does it. But if they want to fire you, they'll call you in because it's not something you're technically, legally allowed to do. Be careful. Opportunity to be honest, to be forthright. I remember working at the Athlete's Foot in Bozeman one time, and somebody came up, bought a pair of shoes. I was there by myself, rung them up. I was having a friendly chat with them, and after they left, I was like, something in my mind, I was like, that, something wasn't quite right. I went back, I looked. They bought a pair of shoes, I don't remember the exact amount, we'll say for $70. They gave me a $100 bill. While I was busy talking to them, I'm looking at the thing, and I see 70. I gave them $70 back. Multitasking was never my strong point. So they got a $70 pair of shoes for $30. I was there by myself. I wasn't really looking forward to telling my boss about that. But I told him. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. And my boss said, you know, Luke, he says, and I basically said, you know, you want that to come off my paycheck? He said, you've made way more than $40 from me. Don't worry about it. But he appreciated the honesty. Hey, we gotta learn to be honest. And that's an opportunity in work. Because, man, like I say, there are lots of ways to fudge. Integrity. There's also, we get this opportunity. Acts chapter 5, verse 29, we see it with Peter and the rest of the apostles. Said, we must obey God rather than men. Sometimes at your job, when they ask you to do something that breaks the law of God, you have to be respectfully declined. Can't do that. This time I was working for an office supply place, and there were some supplies for this abortion doctor in Bozeman. And guys, I'm not saying nobody else could take it. It bothered my conscience. I was a young guy. I went to open that door and I just couldn't go in there. I brought it back. I said, I just can't. In my conscience, I just couldn't do this. And actually, it was a Christian company, and they said, yeah, we're not going to give it. They chose not to. They're to give that to them. I'm not telling you what your conscience has to be, but there are spots, if it's going to cause you to sin, you can't do it. And you got to be upright with your boss about that. People skills. We learn people skills. Is that important? You know, to spread the gospel to others? Absolutely. Okay. Gets us out of ourself and focus on other people. Attitude. Like I said before, opportunities. Man, guys, work is a good thing, is what I'm saying. do your work heartily as for the Lord. Hebrews 4:13 tells us that nothing is hidden from His sight. All things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. No creature is hidden from His sight. There we go. No creature is hidden from His sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. There is an accounting that we're going to give. And the Lord sees everything. He's the ever-present boss, if you will. Now, thankfully, we know He's not a boss that just can't wait for you to make a mistake. He doesn't treat Christians that way. But He does see everything. He knows when you take unscheduled breaks. Or He knows when you go the extra mile that you're not getting paid for. He knows when you weasel out of something. He knows when you're resourceful. You find a way to get the job done. Ultimately, He's our master, isn't He? He's our master. And that's true, by the way, for anybody that's a boss, too. Scripture has something to say about you. Hey, careful with the way you treat people that work for you, because you got a master, too, in heaven. That you're going to work for. And you know, the Scripture also says, if you're working for a Christian, don't say, oh, good, I can slack off because he's like, no, all the more. Give him work even more for him. Because he's a believer, and basically all the believers are going to benefit from that work. I think about Daniel. Daniel was such a great example. You know, first of all, he and his buddies, when they came back from that fast, they were found better. But then as they went into work for Nebuchadnezzar, they were found 10 times better than everybody else. Guys, I like that. Isn't that what the non-believing world should say about, yeah, you know, I don't, not necessarily interested in being a Christian, but boy, those guys, they're good workers. You know, the way that the word Christian's used these days, that's a scary, you know, Christian. But real Christians, man, yeah, I'm going to hire that guy. I'm going to even deal with a little him proselytizing on the job because it's the best worker we got. We'll take it. Daniel chapter 6. This is where, this is under Darius. And Daniel gets, you know, put as one of the, I forget what the exact word is there, but he got the satraps, and he's one of the three that's over the, I think there's 120 altogether. And Daniel's rising above the best of the best of them. And those guys are jealous of him, and they can't find any corruption in him at all. This guy does everything right. And they finally say, you know, if we're going to catch him with something, we're going to have to catch him in reference to what he does with God. You know, the laws of his God. So, that's what people should say about us. But think about your reputation. What kind of worker are you? What would the scripture record say? What's your boss thinking about you? I hope he thinks you're the best worker he's got. You can be honest here. Who in this room thinks you get paid what you're worth in this world? A few of you. It's tough to get paid what you're worth. And if you think about it, unless you work for yourself, they can't pay you what you're worth because they got to make money off you. That's part of the way the economic system works. They have to. Otherwise, it's not worth having you. But you know, if you're working for men, guys, that's all you get. All you get is what you get paid. And I think most of us could, somewhere we draw the line and say, it just ain't worth it. The principle from Scripture, if all you're doing is working for men, that reward's going to be small. You think about it in Matthew chapter 6. Even if you're doing spiritual stuff just to be noticed by men, that's the only reward you're going to get. Scripture tells us store up treasures in heaven. There is going to be a great reward. What Roger was talking about, the Lord does, He can impact our paycheck right here. That's why we pray for our daily bread, isn't it? The Lord can ensure that we have that. It doesn't always mean the Lord's going to make sure you're getting paid what you're worth, though, in this world. But I guarantee you, the Lord guarantees you, there is a reward on the other side for all of eternity. All sorts of earthly jobs. They got hourly pay and health benefits and retirement package, etc. Depends on what kind of job you have, whether those things are... Hourly pay is pretty much for all of them, but what about if you work for your master who's in heaven? Can he make sure that you do get on earth what you need, like Roger was saying? promises to. How are his health benefits? Spiritual health is what really matters, right? How about this one? He who believes in me shall live, even if he dies, and he who lives and believes in me shall never die. Sounds like a pretty good deal. What's that eternal 401k plan? You know, the best of those, I'm not super familiar with them, but aren't the best of them, your company will match what you put in, right? So the percent that you, and up to a certain percent though, you can't put in 50% and they'll, you know, 6% or up to 6% or something, right? You put in 6% of your paycheck, the company will match it. Hey guys, God does way better than match what you put in. Okay? We get there and God shares everything that He has with you. You are a joint heir. That's what He calls you. Okay? The inheritance is all yours. That is a good retirement plan. Brother, let's learn to be hard workers. At our job, instead of just looking at it as, I'm going. And I know that my mental gymnastics that I've gone through, I mean, it is easy to say why the boss, they don't deserve our best. The world doesn't deserve our best, but the Lord does. So let's think about it this way. This is an opportunity, guys, to develop character. This is an opportunity to shine for Christ. This is an opportunity for people that are non-believers to say, man, that person is a legitimate Christian. They're real. And let's remember, whatever we do, do it for the Lord from our heart. Let's stand.